I'm going to have to paraphrase this because I don't remember the exact way he stated it, but there was a quote on the internet by Charles Spurgeon. The doctrine of sovereignty. The doctrine of sovereignty must be preached every single time. The doctrine of sovereignty is the only peace true believers have of anything that's in this world. We're going to continue this morning and pick up where we left off in 1 Samuel chapter 7. You may recall that we looked at the picture of the position of the high priest. In our last study, we saw how Samuel praying to the Father on behalf of the people was a picture of Christ, our high priest, making intercession for us, as you said a moment ago, Pastor. We looked at how that was a picture of the true high priest, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who intercedes for his chosen loved ones. In verse 9 of chapter 7, the last words there we see are, "And the Lord heard him." The only reason our Lord and Father in heaven hears us is for Christ's sake.
Amen.
He cannot even look upon sin. Why would he hear the sins or hear the prayers of those who are sinful? Because of Christ. And because of Christ alone. God the Father hears every word his begotten Son speaks. When our Lord said, "Father, I pray for them, not for the world, but for those that thou hast given me," our Father hears the words. Everything the Son does pleases the Father because he is perfect in every way. He is the spotless Lamb of God. He did the work of salvation. He laid down his life for the sheep. He shed his own blood, ransoming his people. All that he has ever done is pleasing to the Father. Because of the work that was done on the cross, at the cross, those who are in him, those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, all those for whom the Father hath given to him will come to the throne of grace, boldly crying out, "Abba, Father." Our Savior hears our cries and our praises for Christ's sake. He feels our sorrows. He knows our infirmities. He knows our temptations. He knows our joys. For he also was tempted as we are. He has suffered as we have. And the good news is this. We are, by his stripes, we are healed. Come to the throne of grace. Our God is gracious and delights in mercy. Come to the Christ of Scriptures and be healed. In verse 10 of chapter 7, we continue reading, "And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to the battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder, and on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel." You remember, they were coming up against them, and the people had cried out, "Go and pray to the Lord for us." And the Lord gave a big thunder, a great thunder, and on that day the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Now allow me to quote for you a statement by Robert Hawker on this verse 12. "This spot between Mizpah and Shen was rendered the more memorable because this was the very spot where 20 years before the Philistines had defeated Israel." You'll remember back in verse 4 or chapter 4, we read about how the Philistines had come in and slaughtered 30,000 men in one day, in one battle. He goes on to write, "Reader, how many Ebenezers have you and I entered, erected of deliverances and mercies?" I read that and I thought to myself, how often we have thought about the things where the Lord has saved us from ourselves, from the dangers that we've been in through. I was just speaking last night to a gentleman I'll share that with you guys later. A birthday party for a one-year-old baby. That how the Lord had saved me from having an accident on my motorcycle. But I never saw it as that until later when the Lord had opened my eyes to the truth of His sovereignty and how He works all things out for my good. And it was just so clear on how the Lord had kept me from going off the cliff on that motorcycle. It was just so obvious. How often have we erected deliverances and mercies? Every time I go around that corner, I think of that deliverance. Alas, if we cannot point to very, very many, it is not because our gracious God hath not afforded no remarkable occasions for them, but because they have passed by unnoticed and disregarded from our ungrateful and unworthy minds. How much owest thou unto my Lord is the question. I would pray for grace to put to my soul in the close of every day and night. Samuel took a stone, thanking the Lord for delivering the people when they called out for help. Praising the Lord for His good works in our lives. Verse 13, so the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more against into the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron even unto Gath. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. Now before we look into chapter 8, allow me to share with you a thought about this event that we're going to read about next. And last Friday, I was considering this after reading all the way through it, and I sent out a text to some of my brothers in Christ to see what kind of response I would receive. My text was this. Interesting point. In the Old Testament, does it not seem that every time Israel is at peace, they tend to fall away from the God they know? How long did it take Israel to fall away when Moses had gone up on the mountain?
Not very long.
Not very long at all, did it? How long did it take for Israel to fall away after they saw with their own eyes God open the seas? Open the waters and allow them to walk through on dry ground. How long did it take? Not that long, did it? It wasn't long before they were complaining. Let us go back to Egypt where we had spices and stuff, wasn't it? What did you lead us out here for? To die of thirst? They complained about everything in what seemed to be a time of peace. Pastor Mike was one of those I sent that text to, and he responded thus. He says, our hearts often grow cold toward the Lord when we start to forget how much we need Him. I responded back to him, I think of sifting the wheat. Sifting the wheat. Could peace not be something the Lord is using to sift the wheat? Or what about they left us for they were never of us? Once again, Pastor Mike responds, yes, and false professors of Christ will sometimes only have an interest in the things of God when times are tough. But when prosperity comes, they go back to the things of this world. The mark of a true believer is that we are married to Christ. So through thick and thin, in good times and bad, we know that we cannot live without him. To God's true people, Christ is our all, even in times of peace. One of my other responses was from Brother Bill. He said, life doesn't get any easier in the flesh, but the Spirit is alive with hope in the one who has saved us from the wrath to come. I ask you to consider these thoughts as we continue in chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second was Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all nations. Isn't that typical? We don't like the way your sons are doing things, and you're getting old. We don't know how much longer you have. So give us a king like all these other things of the world. Verse 6. But the thing displeased Samuel, and when they said, give us a king to judge us, and Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people, in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even unto this day wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now, therefore, hearken unto their voices. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. There was another time, wasn't there? There was another time that our king, our savior, our Lord gave the people over to the hearts, to their own hearts, to their own desires, to their own will. A time when they said, crucify him. Crucify him. When a child of God thinks on these matters, do we not see the greatness of his grace? Do we not see that we too would be right there in that throng saying, you will not reign over me? Yet he did not leave us. For by his grace he came to us when we were dead in trespasses and sin and said, live. Oh, what a great king we have. Our king rules over everything. Sovereignty is so, so important for everything else. Everything else is a lie. Everything else is a lie. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The Lord has promised good to me, as you said in your prayer there, Brother Mike. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Yes, sir. You know, we sing that song, and it's a nice tune. It's a good tune. I like it. But the words mean so much more. So much more. One of the other responses that I received from our brother, one of my brothers was Brad Warda over in Marysville. He said, how great is he who is faithful. He who is faithful will keep us in times of trouble and in times of plenty. Even if we turn aside, his faithfulness will turn us back. And I say, praise the Lord. Remembering the promises that he has given his own. In 2 Corinthians, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Or in Hebrews 13, let our conversations be without covetousness, and be content with such things as we have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Or in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's just as much a promise as anything else. The Lord says something, it's true. It will be. And if you don't believe that part, what about John 6:37? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. One of my favorite ones, Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? These are the promises we need to remember when we're living in what we call peace. Because to be honest with you, there is no peace outside of Christ in this world. We may think right now that we are in peace because nobody's attacking us. But there's just as much turmoil in the world today. It's just as cursed today as it was yesterday or the day before or any day before that. Amen. If you don't have Christ, you have no peace at all. You may be walking around comfortable for a time. For a time. We're pretty comfortable right now, aren't we? We have no idea. Most of us sitting here right now have no idea of the troubles of this world. Having a neighbor move in next door to me at one time scared the pants off of me. Because they were shooting each other up, shooting at each other, going down the street. So many of the things in this world can trouble us, yet we have peace. Peace and the only hope there is, and that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that the Lord would not leave you to your own will. Verse 10. And Samuel told all the works of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest. And to make his instruments of war and instruments of chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep and you shall be his servants. And you shall cry out in that day because of your king which he shall have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. Oh, how many will cry out from hell. Gnashing of teeth, I think it's described that, is it not? Haven't I done things in your name, Lord? Yet he will not hear you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Nevertheless, verse 19. The people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city. Who is your king? Is he your king in times of good? Is he your king when you're doing the right things? When you feel like, oh, I'm doing everything just right. I'm going to church on Sunday. I'm giving to the poor. I'm praying twice a day. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Spurgeon wrote this, it is not your hold of Christ that saves, but his hold of you.
Amen.
Remember, therefore, it is not your hold of Christ that saves you, but it is Christ. It is not your joy in Christ that saves you. It is Christ. It is not even the faith in Christ that be the instrument. No, I'm sorry. It is not even faith in Christ, though it may be the instrument. It is Christ's blood and merits. Therefore, look not so much to your hand or your thoughts, which you are grasping Christ, but as to Christ. Look not to your hope, but to Jesus, the source of your hope. Look not to your faith, but to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith.
Amen.
We shall never find happiness by looking at our prayers, our doings, and our feelings. It is what Jesus is, not what we are, that gives rest to the soul.
Amen.
So in summary of what we've just read, looking to Jesus, even in the times of peace,
yes,
of comfort. That's all we have. That's all we ever will have. But that's everything.
Amen. That's
we sing Amazing Grace, folks, because we know what we deserve.
Yeah.
And we see the grace of God working in us, giving us the faith. What amazing grace that is. Unmerited favor, because he has loved us from before the world was, and love us forever he will. Pastor.